Good evening. A warm welcome to the service this evening. We're going to begin this time of worship and we'll sing to God's praise from Psalm 133. Psalm 133, the whole of this short psalm in Gaelic. Behold how good a thing it is and how becoming well together such as brethren are in unity to dwell. We'll sing the whole of the psalm, three stanzas in Gaelic to God's praise. And after we've sung, Dom McSween will lead us in prayer in Gaelic, please.
Yeah. Shivakaloni Kala. A Yagrasavar, a Vianetia. Kugin Karameniskara show us urging down the hill. A keyword a horny. Vanilera Krawun horny gas and were in jalted Hermon, some barren droog, her slaves and he. So she shined called the hill, a crown, and a brother, and a corny gran, a she, who was on the galcon, granishing a gorty, dear and bianach. Snap again, mugging yet in Yasker shock, do you never? Edel Doro, cousin to your question, not the earnish, on the she, on the cal, grass for. The hill and the shore are ferric and smabdad. A caromian, a kirkris, kachin a hern a horny. Skiver my father king. Kabelshin edit pianochu, leshini a gorstich, a journey a gaibson. Kabega orstach a gunya a knock on the shore. Viskiver my father king. Allah had a king, God korstach. Or as in your father can you anavin earn a bianic? Not if you should your chest of chemical air talk. In a can ye dala me a crack co fashion. Hit so as got the holy navigate. Na fos and ainet nervous and co hesses aunt grey. A can ye gavel the lam and clan is clean yakentach. Annam nach de hoek dit jammernis, snach de loek nu in eerkanag. Origination, pianach uwe gier jewe kusai wit pat. Is unrukkus verun on die gier, uwes bunt slaantje, god aad. Scho verwil, bunet ne slaantje, es leeftjen hier. A cousin in Jisho, a hushing gunya, or toil a hanyel, eddy via the hosna. Capitan is shinya as egg for Shahuchoxen, hanyel shinitoligan came. A thirst, Marapia hen gai trodder. Speak kinda can you hear Vianitida, a Louis Vianitivera, the Rernish and the Rernet. Could you give them a sheer in the fair hern of Hirchen, who's a garlet hain, here by a boy, or Nakshin and a vanity, before a bit angle, the shining eve, a shinneranic or G. Hannick and Noas of Orakni Evan, a home who's a gaga, here by a vanity, clear than machine at hain. Skedegagain iavai. Is nachet nyach forstenach hanano. Ekevel iavai chdiest. Na alavs nahien. Ekevel fachkuli djirne. Kjati di vehe. Ugus sichdiye. Fachkuli djirne vieke. Garstju du gittel ranasach asho. Arafasach ranavelshin. Ikimach. Her fashion, her more. It was a hymn of the knee as an assach. It was a cunyach of the slog at yearn. A hashing tangle, kevel kallagach, kevel a hen, kevel kondla dua, kevel a hunyish stua, na falafs na tia. A kallagach kevonj is shaw, na ha kashins, na tre kefist, a slog at the kaspe. Or chan ich eis in ys lwg asio, chan ich ym ach at eith calfari, agos haed prysial. Sos te hen ma'n jemichel ma'n ddew gosad, ys mo'n an y hwle, agos chat a nyach a lai ma'r iad. O, na bygte te fach yn yn noch, gbygte te le nulog di, gwele ffyr ma'r jemichel he, sy'n y gaj a hwgat yn yn y tîr yn open arpe, Skvishin Hotchi Arantishan, nachala komus te nachet pi etay alam an nach or va mach ka va shopti hi sholak ugas ne de gam de kaden tu so hon ik an achrote ho ye ler wa edin ga gsu hul vi da har ka jog va mach ko kalvari edes schaun ugas kholane no podu kun ta had ga di gyan Sa shini gave yan nechta tangal kadranik skill as you know. Sa shini gyeri yan vyanit katishim skill. Aha shini kloyin. Skahimini good as vichigar nyons. Nach be earnest skill on a spree shalagunya. Nach kadani kriyas to guard charn. Skibishin moshan and nach kiri. Kibet of yanach kain god kurtach on the show. Agus gibíon chéile bheiscain na áalaigh bethe chúmpa. Agus gara chúla chéile bheisi bheisi na cláidin gibíat a gáid dóid gáid cúteachu gábíd dal cé milid ást na slúihid ictiast. Har éisi na téisar gábíd gáldin móran na stéisar an áisi na bhí gáldis. As you hear your knock, you gave me a night and never seen your corny. Could be seen your corny, your son minded. A knackle carom and never had a ton of horny. As you hear your corny, your son minded good as a be chin. Good as he gave me a night to be full of, as if he said a bach of the alum yarn and a grass. Minded good as we fast who was a toy and a behead a harrow. Concussion, tell you, Maravaya. Skivalat Mochel, Kabil and Gorshashin. Skivalat Suhasaket and Nitonia Legai. Ashin Tanga Kavale Hitchinagati and Ankucha. Asavel on the Trochid. Wounded the Kayet the Luk. Wounded Shinna Eknachel Karaman. Savounded in a Karaman a Chow. Sashinya Gorni on the Trochid Shona. Nahamui, agus gynna Allah sio cwndish gai bach mar lael. Agus e Allah hanna gyr I ddiwr na sanain. Lair na sapan, bied a chayet naf. Si Allah yn wrth a sydi gytu, ni yw dopedul. Achar yn iach gof la, si Allah gaf yn ddiwr na ffaj. A opedul, se gyr I orn, fi cwshachat Allah. An an urien set kriochen ewe suit. En in ichen avan je ska. Ichen as a fashion pers as a fashion furlum. Sashin je gorni gibi u kashe kajas ko slan je. Wund je da chin. Uit ma karedi ta hal pianik je. Se wund je da fa uoloch. Fa churum en majemik. Ka churde. Gorni je sa te solens maratunat. Ítirat kvela óvallakar, ach kjöt a tákhrt lukku grái, stjés kargai, asi djínjus a háti kjúllan. Asin tángali gébi anhetsi kvelski a lakats, edu húli nígani nígit. Asin gúrni unu mi anhetsi sönu, dhaskjál a talamák, gumini knármiz. Asin gúrni gubi eppilu, letarug tráv. The school of Pilar, who was in a Vianice, to Amon and Tuski, Salmon and Pianachi, Chinanamis Kurs Koyanal, who was a gay Vianice to Tolomach, got him all of into his bow. As a Venetian, one was a carlot, Nishin owned a troch with a bachor, we got a dead clone, a hadiku stat. Sidi ku kask et kokkige, se toris gal kokkige. Ni hasin jem eiski je leid, te vir ons, te gaunt jögach. Ni hasin jem eiski je murste de mara, ful njankendach gatoort, klaun oke, ek nachal karim niganev, edes an hen, eris pionig et falla, edin jelik alishitugus anisho. Nachshin apio as a tuhul atulik. Nachshin apio as a naat as a vilshin Asavilishin down with a lighted clone, who is his cloak was to us, the Shijikavilla Holocua, her nab, who is at Hala, Snachmakavilla was the real, come with the way shall not the unishing hornish in your crew, Stooshnagutis of your husband and hat, Skibishin your corny gave Yanit, Wangishin on a trough with Hamulisha Toshka. It was how in a man to full of Kiel and Abbey on the sea he and Croy. She knew Cornig be a maledo. Skibi a maledo in your done the shores, not be your knocking, not be say a hook the hook. Secure a cabu a cleared oscull, skibu a cleared a leonu, Lishin Toshka lane yaskers, clown oak, a call of the Kachakon, she knew Cornia the son. Be you gave Yanich a tokal sewers, who is tokal hay nagdioch. Skibi at has the kind of who, and the whole lot as in the sculpting sawpoint, who is as in the sculpting shock. Skibi a in a Yanich, that career nabeha, Talamach and Hugel, as if Sushin, Hamor and a smisser, Nasuhul as the Yedishin a sewer, Jan Troch with Ornula. Janikin, we call it the hill, and we shine the clue. Call it the shinjak with a suit of a mallet. Shintangelish on a hoop, and the misc and loy as cachni, as a fame alive besides. Be head of Yanakamo, scarce your stomach.
Amen. Let's sing again now to God's praise. We sing from Mission Praise 1116. We sing of the higher throne. Ecclesiastes is a book where much of it is looking at what goes on under the sun, but there's a desire in the writer's life that we look beyond that to the higher throne, and we'll sing of that now. If you could turn now, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, just a short reading tonight, from the end of chapter 3, verse 16, through into the first part of chapter 4. So Solomon, as God inspires him, writes in verse 16, "And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I thought in my heart, God will bring to judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time for every deed. I also thought, as for men, God tests them so that they may see that they are like the animals. Man's fate is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so does the other. All have the same breath. Man has no advantage over the animal. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust, and to dust all return. Who knows if the spirit of man rises upward and the spirit of the animal goes down into the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better for a man than to enjoy his work, because that is his lot. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Again I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and there was no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter. And I declared that the dead who had already died are happier than the living who are still alive. But better than both is he who has not yet been, who has not yet seen the evil that is done under the sun." Amen. And may God give us understanding as we come to study this passage. We'll sing again to God's praise, and we'll sing from hymn number 122, that prayer as we come back to God's word. "Come, Holy Ghost, our hearts inspire. Let us thine influence prove. Source of the old prophetic fire, fountain of life and love." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word, and we thank you for the promise that you give to us that you will send the Holy Spirit when we pray, that our hearts would be inspired, that our minds would be opened, that our eyes would be enabled to see not just what is under the sun in this world, but that we would see the higher throne where you are reigning over this world and over all things. So give to us, Lord, that perspective, we pray, and help us to see Jesus in this passage, even though it's deep in the Old Testament, even though in first reading it seems so bleak and so dark. We thank you that it's a passage that causes us to look around at the darkness and to search for the light that we find in Christ. So help us to see Jesus. And we pray not just for ourselves here, we pray for every other congregation that meets as we do around these islands and across the nation. Wherever the gospel is preached, we ask, Lord, that you would be working, that Jesus would be lifted up in this land where the name of Jesus is more put down than lifted up. We pray that this day, as your word is preached, that Christ would be lifted up and many more would be drawn to him, that we would see conversions, that we would see souls being awakened, even in this place, Lord. We think back, we wonder, when did we last hear of a conversion? When did we last hear of somebody whose eyes were opened to see their sin and who looked in faith to Jesus? When did we last hear of someone who was taken from darkness into light, from death into life? You are able, Lord, to save to the uttermost. You are able to move in such a way as to bring life where there is death. You are able to awaken and to revive and to restore. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be working for your glory, for the salvation of souls, for the blessing of your people. Be at work in this place. Create soul thirst for thee. And enable us, we pray, who are believing in Jesus, to point people to Jesus, who is the light of the world. We pray for the young ones who will gather after the service tonight. We pray for those who are in the service as well. We thank you for them and for their willingness to come along. We ask that you would speak to them as you would speak to us. And as Stuart shares his testimony this evening with them, we pray that you would draw many of them out, even though the night is cold. We pray that they would come out, that their parents would take them. And Lord, that you would open hearts and that there would be testimonies that are heard from our own young people in this place of how they came to faith in Jesus. So hear our prayers. Take away our sin. Open your word to us now, we pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Boys and girls, favourite Christmas film? It's December now, so you're allowed to start talking about these things. Duncan, put your hand down. What's your... Lewis? Home Alone? Emily? Elf? Any other... Lewis, there's some in the front row here, they're probably too shy to say though. Polar Express? I've not seen that one. Has anybody seen the film? I think it's probably the most popular Christmas film of all time because it's an old film. Has anyone seen the film It's a Wonderful Life? It's an old film, and it's the story of a man who was struggling. He's having a hard time. And he's struggling so much, he actually has this thought. He wishes he'd never been born. And the story of the film is that this guardian angel shows him what the world would have looked like if he'd never been born. And it's a story that takes him from a dark place to a bright place. It's a story that causes him to rethink the dark thoughts that he was having. And it causes him eventually to conclude that it is a wonderful life. So I've spoiled the film for you, sorry. It's got a happy ending. Now, as we come to this section tonight in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon, the preacher, the writer, the teacher in this book, he's having dark thoughts. Things look bleak under the sun. Things seem dark. And he wonders in verse 3 of chapter 4 if it would have been better never to have been born. So what causes him to think that way? What questions are going through Solomon's mind that make him think these things and write these things down? Well, there's three questions that I want to think about tonight, questions that Solomon is asking. And the first question he asks is, where is true justice? He's looking for justice, and he's asking the question, as he looks at the world under the sun, he says, where is true justice? Where will I find it? And the second question he asks is, where is true humanity? Because as he looks around, he says, humans sometimes don't look much different to the beasts, the way that we behave. So where is true humanity? And the last question he asks, as he thinks about death, he asks the question, the deep question, where will I find true life? Where is true life? So these are the three questions. These are the three points for tonight. And the first question that Solomon asks is, where is true justice? Look at verse 16. He says, and I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. So Solomon, he's looking in the door, you could say, of two places, or perhaps it's one place, a place of judgment, a place of justice. If we go all the way back to his time and we stand in his shoes, he was actually looking at the church, looking at God's people. He was looking at God's house, because there was no separation like we have between church and government. And Solomon, as he looks into that place, he's looking for justice, he's looking for true judgment and wisdom, and all he sees is wickedness. So he just says it. He says, I'm looking for justice, I'm looking for judgment, and all I'm seeing is wickedness. And I suppose the question we would need to ask in the first place is he actually, is he seeing clearly? I keep getting emails and letters just now from Specsavers. It's over 2 years since I've had an eye test. And so they're writing to me every few weeks telling me your eye test's overdue, you need to come and get a test. They're basically telling me I might not be seeing clearly. So is Solomon seeing clearly as he looks into these places? Well, he is seeing clearly. He isn't a conspiracy theorist. He's not standing at a distance and just thinking the worst because he's a cynic. He's the king. And he sees things up close. He sees in detail. And he sees right into these places of judgment and justice. And it's a wicked, ugly picture. And he sees that people are suffering because of the lack of justice. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. He says, again I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter. So that's what he sees. That's the experience of many, and he's entering into that as he looks in the door. And there's many people in this world, probably all of us to some degree, have experienced the same thing. There has been occasions perhaps in our lives and we've been treated badly. We've looked for justice. We've searched in places for integrity. And what we see is wickedness, corruption. And we feel oppressed. And it's painful. striving along on Friday, I think it was, towards Leverborough. I had Kenny Gunn with me. He was going for a haircut, and the light was shining on these hills as we were approaching Leverborough, and you were seeing the run rigs, is that what they're called? Where you can see the where the land was worked in the past. And right the way up to the top of these barren, stony mountains, you can see the evidence of where that harsh, arid ground was being worked. Now, why was that? It's because of injustice. Because people were taken and they were thrown off the good land. They're forced into dark places. They felt oppressed. It would have been painful for them. So what do we do when we face that kind of thing in this world? And we will face it in this world. Well, Solomon is teaching us that it's okay to talk to God about these things. We're very good at telling each other that we're fine when we're not fine. But there's no point in telling God in prayer that everything is fine when we're struggling in these kind of ways. And so we're being taught here that it's okay to bring these kind of things out into the open. It's okay to say reverently and plainly that when we suffer and when we are oppressed in these kind of ways, it shouldn't be that way. It's okay to pour out our hearts to God and tell him how we feel when there's no justice and there's only oppression. Because God understands that. Fast forward almost 1,000 years from the time that Ecclesiastes was written, and Jesus, God the Son, he saw and he experienced injustice and oppression and wickedness. Think about John chapter 2. Jesus, he walks into God's house. He looks into the temple, that place where there should have been prayer, that place where people should be able to hear the hope of the gospel. All he can see is corruption, profiteering, unscrupulous people trying to gain advantage for their own selfish lusts. And Jesus is angry at what he sees, and he turns the table over. He drives out the salesman with a whip because he sees injustice, he sees wickedness, he sees corruption, he sees the oppression that is caused by a house that is designed to be filled with the gospel being emptied of the gospel. And we could fast forward a little more to John chapter 18 and 19, and we see Jesus in the center of an unjust trial. In the middle of a night, there's a conspiracy amongst all the most powerful people in that place to frame Jesus. And it's not driven by a desire for justice. It is driven by a diabolical wickedness. So we can speak to God about these things, because he understands what it feels like. And so Solomon, he asks the question, where is true justice? And it seems that he believed it was coming. Look at verse 17. He says, I thought in my heart, God will bring to judgment both the righteous and the wicked. For there will be a time for every activity, a time for every deed. So Solomon, he's looking forward, he's looking around, he's trying to process all this. And he believes divine justice will come. But he just couldn't see how and when. So he's looking forward and saying, how is this going to be addressed? Where will there be true justice? Now tonight, 3,000 years on, we're not looking forward for the answer to this question. We're looking back at the answer to this question. Where will divine justice be found? Where is there true justice? We see where true justice was effected, and it was the cross. That's where we see true justice. That's where we get the answer to Solomon's question. That's where judgment was administered. True judgment, true justice, as Jesus suffered and died. As Jesus felt the weight of God's wrath, his perfect justice fall upon him. That's where we see the answer to Solomon's question. God's justice, God's judgment fell upon Jesus at Calvary. And we could say, but he never sinned, so why does he suffer? And you know the answer to that question is because he went in our place. He went as our substitute. He went to make us righteous if we believe in him. It's the great exchange. It's that verse that we keep returning to, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Where is the true justice, the true judgment that blesses us? Where do we see it? We see it at Calvary. That's why we have to keep on returning to the cross. This is where we hear the answer to Solomon's question. But this is only for those who believe. What about those who won't believe? What will happen to the wickedness and the sin of those people who will not believe in Jesus? What will happen to the wickedness and the sin of the people whom Jesus didn't die for? Will they face justice? Will they face judgment? Will their sin be paid for? Well, the answer is yes. All sin must be paid for. The question is, where will it be paid? Will it be paid at Calvary? Or will it be paid eternally in hell? Will Jesus take it and suffer justice and judgment in our place? Or will we reject Jesus? And will judgment and justice have to be administered upon us? It's a terrifying thought. It's a thought that should cause us to believe in Jesus, to ask him to have mercy on us, to save us. And it's a thought that should cause us to go to our friends, to go to our families, to go to those whom we know are outside of Christ just now, and to warn them. When did you last warn somebody? When did I last warn somebody about the danger, the awfulness of having to face divine justice? We're in a culture where we like to spin everything in a positive. We like to say to people, you should become a Christian because there's this and there's that and there's the next thing. There's peace and there's joy and there's all these things. And all that's true. There's heaven. All that's true. And so, yes, we should encourage people. Yes, we should hold out the gospel. But also, we have a responsibility to tell people the truth about the alternative. The awful reality that if Jesus didn't die for us, then we will have to die for our own sins. Where is true justice? It takes us to the cross. The second question is, where is true humanity? Verse 18, Solomon says, I also thought, as for men, God tests them so that they may see that they are like the animals. So Solomon, at first, he's He's looking at life and at humanity. And he sees injustice, he sees wickedness, verses 16 and 7. He sees the worst of men in high places. He sees men who are driven by greed and ambition. He sees people who don't hesitate to trample on others to get their way. And he concludes in verse 18 that men are like the animals. When he sees the way that people behave, he says men are just like the animals. And that's not new news. That's not something that's realized for the first time in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We could rewind all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. We see a clash between Cain and Abel, and Cain is tested. Because Cain brings a sacrifice to God, and Abel brings a sacrifice to God, and Abel's sacrifice is offered in faith and it's accepted. Cain's sacrifice is not accepted. Rejected. And that should have caused Cain to repent. That test should have caused Cain to seek forgiveness for whatever it was that was in his heart that God could see. But instead, it makes Cain as mad as a wild animal. And he lures his brother in a rage out into a field. And he murders him. He slays him like an animal. So from the beginning, right from Genesis chapter 4, we see how sin attacked our humanity. God created man and woman, and we were good. We were made in God's image. But sin came in and there was distortion. And we see the animalistic. We see man's inhumanity to man right from the beginning. And we can trace that all the way through the Bible. Think about David in 2 Samuel 11. He behaves like a wild animal. He sees another man's wife. He lusts after her. He chases after her. He steals her. And he arranges for her husband to be murdered. Behaves like an animal. We can open our papers today and read about all kinds of stories that demonstrate man's inhumanity to man. Just before I came out, I flicked onto the Sky News app. The first four stories: terrorist attacks, war, shootings, knife crime. Just the first four stories. Man's inhumanity to man. And so Solomon, all the way back then, is asking, where is true humanity? And we can echo that question. Where is unspoiled true humanity? Where will we see humanity as humanity was made to be? And the answer is the answer the children would give us. The answer is Jesus. It's the message of Christmas. Emmanuel was the name that was to be given to this child that would be born. And the reason his name was to be Emmanuel is because he was God with us. We see the sinless God-man in Jesus. We see true unspoiled humanity in Jesus. We see what we were designed to be in Jesus. We see whom we were created to be before sin broke in and took hold of us in Jesus. So Solomon's question, where is true humanity? It leads us to Jesus. And what should we do with Jesus? But we should trust him. Think about John in the morning sermon. We should believe in him. So that's how we're saved. And as we believe in Jesus, he, Emmanuel, comes to live in us. And he changes us from the inside out. He sanctifies us. So that we become more like him. We become more like the humans that God created us to be. That's the process that begins the moment we believe. And it continues through all of our lives here. And then in the hereafter, we sang of it. We'll be like him. It's a hard thought to process, but it's the truth. 1 John 3:2, we will be like him. Heaven is that place of true humanity. It's a place where we will love each other well. It's a place where there will be harmony. Harmony with God and harmony with each other. Where is true justice? Is Solomon's question. It's a question that takes us to Jesus and the cross at Calvary. Where is true humanity? It's a question that is answered. It takes us to Jesus as we see Emmanuel, God with us. The Word became flesh, became human. He made his dwelling among us. And the last question is, where is true life? And in verse 19, Solomon, he's thinking about fate. He's talking about fate. He's thinking about what happens at the end of our time in this world. And he's asking the question, will life just end? Is that it? Will we just go to the same place as the animals, or is there something else? And Solomon, he takes the position of the atheist. He talks through the position of the atheist. He puts to words the position of the person who says, well, we just die, and that's it, nothing. And we hear that in verse 19 and 20. He says, man's fate, as he takes this position, he says, man's fate is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Man has no advantage over the animal. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust. And to dust, all return. Now, I regularly hear people saying this. People will say this to me quite openly here in Tarbert. They'll just say, well, I don't know what you're wasting your time for. You know, we just die, and that's it. That's the end. Everything else is fairy stories. And so Solomon, he takes that argument, he takes that attitude that was present back then, and it's present still today, and he puts it into words in verses 19 and 20. And then he asks a question in verses 21 and 22. He says, who knows if the spirit of man rises upward and if the spirit of the animal goes down into the earth? So I saw, he says, that there is nothing better for a man than to enjoy his work, because that's his lot. Who can bring him to see? Who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Now, what's Solomon saying in these verses? Well, I think what Solomon is saying is, he's saying, if this is all there is, Mr. Atheist, I think he's stopping the guy in the street who says, it's all just nothing. We die, we're buried, and there's nothing. I think he's taking that position, and he's saying to Mr. Atheist, if this is all there is, Mr. Atheist, then you better make the most of your time here. Just do your job, and, well, that's it. Because that's your lot. But it just seems so bleak. Deliberately so, I think. It just seems so shallow. That we're here just to do a job. Just to make some money. That we leave behind. For somebody else to do a job. To make some money that they leave behind. So somebody else can do a job. And so it goes on. It just seems so bleak. I think Solomon, as he puts these verses 21 and 22 so starkly, he wants us to respond by saying, there must be more to life than this. Hasn't God put eternity in our hearts? Isn't there true life? Isn't there abundant life? Isn't there eternal life to be found somewhere? Isn't there someone who knows what happens beyond the grave? Isn't there someone that can tell us what will happen after our lives? And of course, all of these questions again, where do they lead us? They lead us to Jesus. Where is there true life? In Jesus. John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is the life. And we receive life, we know life, we experience life, we live life when we trust in him. And when we trust in him, he doesn't just give us a taste of life in this present tense, but he gives us the promise that there's eternal life. That this world is just like a vapor, it's just a mist that soon passes. And then after we die, there's a place that he's prepared where we will taste eternal life if we are trusting in him. There's a place, to use the words of verse 2, where the dead who have already died are happier than the living who are still alive. And Jesus is the only one who is able to remember, unlock the door of heaven so that we can go in and experience eternal, true life. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. John 14, trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus told the disciples back then. Jesus speaks this evening to us, and he tells us about the way to that place of true life. And yet, when we think back to that room as we finish, there was a disciple who heard all of this. Who heard that Jesus is the way, who heard that Jesus is the truth, who heard that Jesus is the life, who heard that Jesus has opened the door for true, everlasting life. And he didn't trust in Jesus. His name was Judas Iscariot. And even though he was so close to Jesus, even though he listened to so many of Jesus' sermons, even though he knew so many Christians, even though he went to so many meetings, even though he experienced so many miracles, even though he actually did so many good things with the disciple badge on, he never knew life. And when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 24, woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man, it would have been better for him if he had not been born. It's possible that Jesus is picking up the language of Ecclesiastes 4 verse 3. Better than both is he who has not yet been, who has not seen the evil that is done under the sun. For Judas, it would have been better for him never to be born. But for Judas, it would have been best if he had listened to Jesus and trusted Jesus and had been born again. Because that was the offer to him. So where is true life, asks Solomon. true life is found in Jesus. So don't make the mistake that Judas did. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son and know life, true life, eternal life in and through Him. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would give us faith, that we would take hold of your word. Help us to see the stark bleakness of life under the sun, a life that is lived apart from you. And as we see the bleakness and the hopelessness of that, we pray that each one of us would come to Jesus, that we would receive forgiveness so that we would not have to face the punishment for our sin. We thank you that Jesus went to the cross so that divine justice could be met and so that grace could be offered to us. We thank you, Lord, for the wonder of the gospel message. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that will believe. And we ask, Lord, that you would be sanctifying us, that you would not only save us from our sin, but, Lord, that you would sanctify us, that we would become more like Jesus. We confess that often we are not the way that we were designed to be. Often we do not reflect the image of God. We do not live in a way that shows the true way that we were designed to be as humans, in the image of God. Forgive us, we pray. And we ask that you would sanctify us, Lord, that we would be made more like Jesus and that we would experience life in Him. And as we go from here, give us opportunity, we pray. Give us courage to tell people about the offer of the gospel, the life that is found only in Christ. And give us the integrity and the courage and the love and the honesty also to tell people about how they must be warned of the alternative to rejecting Jesus. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing to finish Mission Praise 52. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus.
I can face some certain days because He lives.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.